I'm Rachel, the creative director for Ram Dass's Love Serve Remember Foundation, and I'd like to welcome you to our Inner Academy, a virtual Dharma hall where our family of wisdom teachers will help you navigate your daily life by bringing ancient wisdom into a modern context. With over 200 hours of audio and video teachings, meditations, and practices from teachers like Ram Dass, Krishna Dass, Sharon Salzberg, Jack Kornfield, Roshi Joan Halifax, Joseph Goldstein, and many more, the Inner Academy is your core resource for finding balance, presence, and navigating the ups and downs of your daily life. The Inner Academy has guidance for every step of your journey. Choose from an annual or monthly membership and gain access to past and future courses, retreat replays, virtual community, and much more. If you've been familiar with Love Serve Remember Foundation for a while, you'll know that most of our offerings are given freely or on a sliding scale basis. So when you subscribe to the Inner Academy, you're paying it forward and bolstering our ability to continue creating accessible offerings for all in the future, as Ram Dass wished for us to do. Be here now and start your journey with Ram Dass's Inner Academy today. For more, visit ramdass.org/innerAcademy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to Mind Rolling Podcast. I'm Raghu Marcus, and
I'm David Silver. Hello, welcome.
So we have quite the podcast ahead, folks. Dave and I have really dug up the gold this time. We came across an article about near-death experiences, NDE, and we were fortunate enough to get Ram Dass to join us to have a chat about this because he has been investigating this area. He turned me on, as you'll hear in the podcast, I talk about it, to NDE stuff and books, and Dave and I have been into it. And this is going to be a very informative and interesting podcast. Wouldn't you say, Dave? I mean,
because, you know, near-death experience is a pretty popular subject in America, actually. But I think we want to just go a little deeper. And having, you know, Ram Dass to talk about it, not just because of his wisdom, but because of his work that he did for so many years, working with people who were dying and were close to death, his direct experience is so, it's just such a
amazing thing. Yeah, no, he worked tons of, in many different situations, from AIDS people to and so on, and but first, before, we have a message from our sponsor. And who's our sponsor? But Amazon.com is a big sponsor. Again, we have to go through this harangue, but I'm living now by my sister Devaki's edict of making sure that we give you something to bite into around what to get on Amazon now. So for this NDE stuff, I found this Deepak Chopra book, okay? And it led me to a whole other thing. And I'm trying to find, there it is. And Deepak's book is called The Afterlife, The After Death. And it is got some fantastic stuff. I got two books, Dave, that I don't even have it. I'm ordered today myself. One is called The Concise Yoga Vasista, by the State University of New York. You can go up on Amazon and you've got two bookmark our Amazon link. Please, everybody, bookmark this link and then use it whenever you're going to buy anything from Amazon. And it's happening now. People are doing it, Dave. It's part of the MindPod network, which you all know about by this time, which features us and Ram Dass and Krishna Dass, Sharon Salzberg, and Jack Kornfield, and we're going to get other people involved. This sounds like Crazy Eddie, I know, again, right?
Yeah, we're going to have Lady Gaga, too.
Yeah, right. And let me tell you about Vasista, okay? Yeah. I have deep personal experience. He was Ram's guru, and going back into the ancient text of India. And when I went to Rishikesh, somebody said, you've got to go to Vasista's cave. I said, he's got a cave? And he said, yeah, you go up, just go up as you go into the Himalayas out of Rishikesh, you'll find it. So we went there. And it's right by the Ganges River. I mean, it's like the holy place. And there is a cave there, and it's dark, and you go down through a tunnelish thing, and then it opens up where you, and they actually have little, sackcloth kind of stuff where you can sit and meditate. It was deadly dark. Deadly isn't the right word, but it was dead dark, and it was so quiet. It was amazing, and I tell you, I mean, I'm. You know, fooling around a little bit here, but I did have an extraordinarily deep meditative experience in Vasista's cave. And how they know this is his cave, I don't know. He was Ram's guru. He came up there. He was giving him instruction there. This was, and I could see it because it was right by the Ganges. It was a fantastic place.
Was it, Raga, was he the guy, the deity, really, or the sage, or... God, none of these words were. But you, what, didn't he take Rama and Lakshman and Sita away from? Wasn't he the one that took them into the jungle and through? Wasn't he the original, guide for them?
Lakshman and Ram, not Sita. This is while they were children, I believe, and he took them through the formative stages of their life and gave them these teachings, which are. Put in, and he, it's by a Swami Venkateshananda, and I really trust Deepak, okay? He said this is by his bedside all the time, and it has all sorts, it also, what he's recommending, it has a whole thing similar to the Tibetan Book of the Dead. All right, well, we won't go there, but here's the thing that he recommended, Dave, here, you're going to love this, D-Log, D-E-L-O-G, hyphen, Journey into Realms Beyond Death. It's also on Amazon. I don't know if it's, it might cost a few extra bucks, but it's worth it. He says that this is the clearest representation of what the Tibetan Book of the Dead represents in a story that happened to a young nun. It's like an NDE thing, but most of the NDE things here in this country are all Christian oriented because that's the imprints that we get. But of course, in Tibet, it's all Buddhist oriented. And so there's a whole related parallel to the Tibetan Book of the Dead through this, what he calls extraordinary clear transmission.
So what's the name of the
D-E-L-O-G, D-E-L-O-G, hyphen, Journey into Realms Beyond Death. Dave, you'll be able to go to mindpodnetwork.com and see the recommended links. They're going to be right there. Rachel's going to do it for us.
So right.
You won't have to worry. And something else, folks. Oh, by the way, the concise yoga Vasista, just as a sidebar, it apparently reflects in India the philosophy called the mind-only school. And there's a Buddhist mind-only school that was happening, I guess, I don't know, probably a little later, that closely reflects this. Another interesting thing about the unity, really, of at some level of Buddhism and Hinduism. I have a record I love. Nothing to do with a near-death experience or anything,
okay.
All right? It's brand new by Damien Rice. I love Irish singers, and I love Irish people, actually. Van Morrison, Dylan Thomas, the poet, absolutely smashing people creatively. Damien Rice has a new record called My Favorite Faded Fantasy. How about that for a title? Right? Is that good?
Right.
So, and, all right, Dave. So that's my three recommendations. Here's Dave's recommendations for Amazon.
Okay. I have a music recommendation, which is the band The Congos, with spelled with a K. And they're just a rock band. They're all brothers. I think there's five brothers. They're from South Africa. And I discovered them because NBC has been using them as a bumper on certain programs, I noticed. And I thought, I like that song. I think it's called Come and Get Me or Come Away With Me. I'm sorry, I don't know the title of the song. But The Congos, I like, you know, simple rock bands. I'm not big on, you know, dancers and stuff and huge, you know, graphics and stuff. I like music. And they're just a band like I could be from any time. I just love them. And I've been listening to different tracks on, you can see all their tracks on YouTube, but check them out on Amazon too, of course. The Congos, K-O-N-G-O-S.
You can get MP3s on Amazon, by the way. You can get the whole record, you know, just very easy.
I'd also just like to recommend, you know, Still Here, Ram Dass's book, which relates to this podcast and to what he talks about, you know. You can get that on Amazon too. We don't recommend too many things because then it becomes all sort of a jumble. But and also Rachel has to go crazy listing them and finding them and so forth. But, you know, try that. Try listening. Try either listening or actually you can't listen, I don't think, to Still Here. I don't think that's been audibilized, but you can certainly.
It hasn't. That's something we should do because and that brings up Audible. We're getting that straightened out, folks. We're going to get our link. It's going to be a MindPod link. So we're going to get that straightened out because listening to books audio is fantastic, and it's another way to support us, and it'll be announced at the next podcast that we do. I have one last announcement, Dave. Okay, we're going to do this is for you too. We're going to do a retreat with a few of the MindPod podcasters. In fact, four of them. I'm going to be there. Ram Dass is going to be there. Jack Kornfield is going to be there. And Krishnadas is going to be there. And so on December, I got to get this right, 5th, 6th, and 7th, December 5, 6, 7, we are going to stream the morning sessions or a couple of sessions a day. It's going to be about 3 hour. I believe it's three and 3.5 hours a day are going to be streamed from Maui to the world, and it'll all be free, brought to you by the Love Server Member Foundation. So that's going to be a fun thing, all you guys, if you want to hear some really... Dave, the subject is, the topic is power and love. How about that?
Yeah.
Or love and power. And so no further ado... Because we've been rambling on here but please do support us as much as you guys can, because it's a whole network and all these people, it's a lot of work and a lot of people involved, and it's a beautiful collective, MindPod Network. So whatever you can do, it's of course straight donations are cool. There, you know, we're going to have some beautiful things to purchase around life and balance, which we've been talking about, and there's still mind rolling T-shirts out there. You can go up there and purchase them. And then, of course, the Amazon link, please use it whenever you can. David?
Yeah, go to the website, and either on your mobile or not, and check on all kinds of innovations that are jumping out of the screen now. From
Words of wisdom and videos and Krishnadas chants. It's great. All right, here we go. And this is the session. We just finished hanging out with Ram Dass on a sweet Sunday afternoon. Hi, Ram Dass. Welcome to the podcast, Mind Rolling, with me, Raghu Marcus, and Dave Silver.
Hello, Ram Dass. So happy to see you.
Thank you, Dave.
So, Ram Dass, we thought of you because for this part, a particular podcast, because Dave and I discovered an article that came out recently about NDEs, near-death experience. And I remembered that, I guess it was last year, about a year ago, you turned me on to this book, Proof of Heaven.
Yeah.
Eben Alexander, the medical doctor who died and so on, which we'll talk about in a minute. And from there, I know that you've delved further into it, and I've started to delve a little bit into it, going through some other literature, and so has David. And we thought, well, this is a perfect opportunity to maybe flesh out some of this stuff. The person who wrote this considers himself, Ram Dass, something of a skeptic. He says, I never had a near-death experience, and I don't know anyone who has. But according to a poll that's quoted throughout the NDE literature, at least 5% of Americans have returned from one and told the tale. That may be a small percentage, but it's a lot of people given today's population here in America. That means it's over 15 million people have had some sort of NDE experience.
Yep.
So, and here's his little dig. Other estimates are lower, but they're still huge. And most of these people seem to be writing books. So there is a lot. I mean, when we looked up this stuff, you know, on Kindle or Amazon, whatever, it's amazing to see how many people have written this, written about this, but also how much of it really centers around Christian point of view, perspective.
Yeah.
And so I found that interesting as well. And I thought that the thing that attracted me right off the bat with that, and it was that particular book that you told me to read or suggested. And there, at this point, you know that this guy's sort of been discredited in some kind of way, discredited by virtue of the fact that he wasn't honest about what had happened in his career. I can't remember if we talked about that. Did you know about that?
No.
No. Oh. Okay. So there was a big Esquire magazine article, and basically in it, it surfaces that he absolutely was involved in malpractice suits at several different hospitals and was kind of thrown out of all of them. And he never, ever was upfront about that. And then the key part in the book where I think the surgeon who treated him, who was a female surgeon, said that disputed his facts in the book that he had not, that when he was in that induced coma, he was experiencing all kinds of physical manifestations of some psychosis of some sort, of, you know, just I can't remember exactly what it was. Anyhow, there's this whole expose in this magazine, and he debunked it by saying, you know, he used some dramatic license, and then he said, but the core things that people should know, that he wanted them to know about, appeared in this book. And I take those core things, the rest of it, obviously, this guy was not completely upfront. But this is from his book. Each and every one of us is deeply known and cared for by a creator who cherishes us beyond any ability we have to comprehend. That knowledge must no longer remain a secret. I understood. He goes into this thing. He says, instantly, in an explosion of light, color, love, and beauty that blew through me like a crashing wave, in a way that bypassed any kind of language. And this is where he had encountered what he called the core. I understood that I was part of the divine and that nothing, absolutely nothing, could ever take that away. And I was granted full access to this cosmic being I really am and we all are. It was that sort of language that, for me, made this thing sort of present beyond the ice. You know, I went up into the heaven world and I saw Mother Mary and all of that kind of stuff. What's your impression, though, of the near-death experience as you've been reading about it, and his in particular, and I know you've read other things?
Well, there are individual differences on the various books. And the individual differences are the first moments of death. Some of them, tunnel, and the first part of after death is looking back on the incarnation, and then after that, there is a pod of souls that you encounter, and you are a soul, and you are a light being. And these souls are all light beings. And the pod they want to know what you gathered in the incarnation, and then there is a light being that stands out, who comes towards them, and this is the guru or the angel or whatever you want to call that. And that being then confers with you about your status and tells you what your past incarnations are, and then that being and you start to review new incarnations, and then they part, and you go into the incarnation.
Can you talk more about the soul pot? You said the being becomes a being of light as it transitions.
Yeah.
And then it sees it's part of a soul pod.
There are other souls who you have been hanging out with, and your group or pod, and you share experiences that we've had from incarnations. Like one of the pod will be going for next incarnation, and another pod member, I'll go with you. I'll be your mother, or your child, or something. And you see that we and humans, there are some people we're very connected to. Maybe a grandfather or another soul. And so these soul pods are just the soul land companions.
Mm-hmm. Rhonda, I'd like to move on a little bit to another book by a guy called Jeff Olson. It's called I Knew Their Hearts, which is immediately, you know, kind of inspirational. I Knew Their Hearts. We've heard that expression from the guru. And I just want to talk about this because it's a slightly different aspect of this. This guy, Jeff Olson, had a terrible, disastrous car crash, lost his wife and one of his sons. He himself was completely, wiped out. I mean, he had to have leg amputated. His ribs were crushed. His lungs were gone. He was in terrible condition, and they didn't hold much hope for him. When he got to the hospital, he knew what had happened. And despite all the grief and trauma, he suddenly left his body and was just walking down the corridors of the hospital without a body, away from his body. And okay, he was out of his body. But then he says, my perceptions were expanded. I knew each person I saw perfectly. I knew their joys and their sorrows. I knew their love, their hate, their pain, and their secrets.
Yes,
I knew everything about them, every detail, every motivation, every outcome. I knew every emotion they were feeling, and I knew intuitively why they were feeling it. In an instant, with no contemplation, I knew them as well as I knew myself. I knew their hearts. How do you react to that, Rhonda, to that heightened perception?
That is going into your perception comes from the soul, not the ego, as they shift over. And your soul, when you're a soul, you know the insides of everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's a good story.
Yes, he goes into enormous detail. Each one, each nurse he passed, each patient, each doctor, he'd say things like, I knew that doctor had a real bad argument with his brother that morning. I knew that woman was unhappy about her husband. And he just goes on and on. And it's so detailed that one's potential scale. He's a Mormon. And but he, in this book, which I recommend, tells a story very humbly and with very little reference to Christian iconography or anything. It's just him and how shocked he was that with all the grief and trauma and horrendous feelings of shame because he was driving the car. Yeah. And he doesn't know whether he fell asleep or anything. He had suddenly they were dead and he was broken. And so it's very moving, very moving. And even though later he talks about, Church of the Latter-day Saints and everything, I felt when I was reading it, I just didn't want to be skeptical at all. I thought, well, if that's the way he's seeing it, it would be so awful to take that away from someone by saying, well, is that true or not true? It seems irrelevant, really.
As you start in to perceive the world from your soul, then you see deeply into things, all like trees and all things like that is the part of the soul which is God intoxicated. God. The soul comes directly from God, and the soul has the capacities that of God, because it's like we have our Atman. We have the Atman, the God in us, and then he's changing from ego to soul, and the Atman, the one is in everything. He's in the nurses, he's in the doctors, he's in everything. Because he is part of the Atman in their part of the each one, that your Atman and my Atman, we're all together, we're one. And if you, starting from the outside, we're egos, then we're souls, then we're the one. Starting from the inside of ourselves, we're one, the one, souls, and ego. In other words, we are the one. That's what they're into, the place of knowing, the place of knowing, the place of awareness, the place of awareness in us all is the same thing, same. And that's why we say we have to go inside instead of outside.
Ram Dass, I want to go back to the soul pod for a minute. It's something actually that you actually brought this term up. Of course, we were thinking about it because we just put this whole mind pod network together of all the podcasters of who are all of your and mine and David's close people for a very long time. And you mentioned to one of these people, Jack Kornfield, you said, really, when we met back in, you know, and everybody, some of you know and some of you don't, but we met back in India many decades ago, and Ram Dass in particular met these people. I met them a little later, 6 months later, at a Buddhist meditation course, a Vipassana course in Bodh Gaya, which is a famous story for another time. But that is where many people who we were with Neem Karoli Baba and people that were close to from the Buddhist community all came from that particular moment in time and space. And it was an incredible moment. And Ram Dass, you said, this is just, we are all part of a soul pod that got together so we could increase each other's awareness to become free and then help other people do the same. So that in terms of your referencing that soul pod, when a being becomes light and then realizes that there are these other beings that have been part of travel companions, so to speak, is that kind of what we're talking about? I mean, we've actually experienced it beyond family in this incredible spiritual family.
Yeah. It's that song.
Yeah. So Certainly, that I believe that alone is something to really give people some form of comfort that there is, you're not traveling alone. I mean, at the highest level, as Ram Dass is saying, we are part of Atman, individuated God, each one of us. And at the same time, we're sharing together and moving along in that sharing and helping each other. I mean, that's a very comforting thing. And I think, you know, some of this NDE stuff is proving that out. So I wanted to point something else out, both of you. I have been reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead, a particular, and of course everybody knows about Sogyal Rinpoche, all of you out there who have anybody going through any transitional kind of a thing, certainly the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying by Sogyal Rinpoche is an important because of the way that he has translated it for really Western readers. But this is actually what I have been reading is from a the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and it has a commentary by Jung and a foreword by Lama Anagarika Govinda, somebody Ram Dass actually knew in India, and a foreword by Sir John Woodruff. And this is the edition by Evans Wentz, right? Ram Dass, this is the original edition that you saw, Evans Wentz,
yep.
Right?
Yep, yep.
So I just found that the Woodruff comments, John Woodruff, who was a, wasn't he a Britisher, David? Do you know?
Yes.
Yes, and he was close to Evans Wentz, I believe. And he was deeply involved in bringing Buddhism to the West. So just let me, I've been finding parallels between the stuff that we're talking about, near-death experience. And by the way, this is a subject we could do about 10 podcasts on. So we're really just referencing, you know, some singular items, really. But Ram Dass, listen to this. In life, the soul complex, which is what he is referring to, is that thing that transitions from a body into a body of light and then eventually, hopefully, into another human body. That he calls a soul complex, which I found interesting in light of what you've been talking about, is never for two consecutive moments the same, but is, like the body, in constant change. I mean, that's interesting. There is thus a series of successive and, in one sense, different states which are in themselves but momentary. There is still a unifying bond in that each momentary state is a present transformation representative of all those which are past, all manifestations past, and it will be the generator of all future transformations potentially involved in it. This process is not interrupted by death. I mean, I thought that that, I'll just, it's, as of course, he's writing in a syntax from another era, so some of this is difficult. But there is a series of successive and, in one sense, different states, part of the soul complex, which are in themselves but momentary. There is still a unifying bond in that each state is a present transformation of all that of all from the past, and it will be the generator of all future transformations potentially involved in it. This process is not interrupted by death. So Ram Dass, is that, to me, he's talking about that undying Atman is that bond which is with us in the complete changing through of the body and of what he calls a soul complex. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, but what is he's calling it, it's the soul, not the Atman.
Right.
There's three planes of consciousness. One is the ego, two is the soul, and three is the Atman, or the the one, then Maharaji is that one place that. And we are, depending on how good our sadhana is, we are our souls or we are our egos. He's really speaking about the soul. The soul is involved in the human body, and then it transfers into the light body that goes along in soul in soul land. The souls incarnate, and there's still individuality. It's individual souls, and the soul has a goal of merging with the one. I'm a soul, and I want so badly to merge with Maharaji. That step is very, very difficult. Very difficult.
Right.
It's like you're in the ocean and you leave your shoes behind, and then you leave your ego behind. And you go in, and it's because you are love. You are not a person going, looking at love. There's no perceptual point from which you were looking. You go into the ocean. You are the ocean. And I think that's rather a fair step.
you know, Ram Dass, recently I was with a friend, a very old friend, who passed away. I was with him in his last moments. And he, one time when I left the hospital, he made me come back and said to me, I'm terrified, don't leave. I stayed a little longer and then I left. And I came back a couple of days later, and the only thing that seemed to console him was your quote from Emmanuel. I said to him, are you aware of, and he wasn't able to speak at this point, but he was certainly able to listen. And I said, Ram Dass quotes, death is safe, and I'm quoting it to you. And he smiled at me, and I don't want to get too anxious about this, but there was definitely a direct amelioration in his condition in terms of fear. So I would like you, as a gift to our listeners right now, to just maybe just talk about that in context a little bit, about that quote.
Okay. Well, near-death experiences are people who... a stroke or medical condition, they go out of their body and experience death. But then I check with all my friends who have died, like Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a soul. He's a soul. And I said to Emmanuel, people offer to ask me, what am I going to do about death? And he said, death is absolutely safe. And he said, it's taking off a tight shoe. I figured he must know.
You know, one of the interesting things that I found, and that actually gives me a much more substantial connectivity to the reality of NDEs, and that is, again, these references that come out in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, at least in Woodruff's introduction to it. And in here I'm speaking of, like, is it not true? Every one of these people, I mean, there may be a tunnel that they go through. Mostly it seems to be there is something like that. And then they come into this incredible light. I mean, that seems, right? That seems to be very common.
Yeah.
So here from the Tibetan Book of the Dead, that, you know, and this is, boy, in the old days, I remember, because you and Leary did that book, The Psychedelic Experience, and Metzner, I guess, right? And and the clear light was such a, it was one of those terms back then that was so profound to us through the psychedelic experience and so on, which is, again, this is a whole other thing we can get into. And certainly, I know, Ram Dass, you've said before that the experience, first of all, the experience that you had through psychedelics and absolutely was elucidated in the Tibetan Book of the Dead. That's one thing. And then secondarily, or after that, going and meeting Neem Karoli Baba Maharaji, our guru, and experiencing that by virtue of having still the lens of the psychedelic and understanding that was a huge thing. So the clear light. The clear light is spoken of in the Bardo Thodol as such a dazzlement as is produced by an infinitely vibrant landscape in the springtide. This joyous picture is not, of course, a statement of what it is in itself, for it is not an object, but it is a translation in terms of objective vision of a great, but in and of itself, indescribable, joyful inner experience. If that isn't acid, now I know when you're reading this, this got to be one of the things that said, yes, yes, right? And then he goes on to quote a Chinese scholar, and this is the thing that really, almost of everything that really got me. The Bodhisattva emits the light called seeing the Buddha in order to make the dying think about the Buddha and so enable them to go to the pure realm of the latter after death. And, you know, all of these NDEs all have, I mean, if they're meeting Christ, they're meeting somebody. And as you described earlier, that you called it, you know, people may call it an angel or whatever, but a guru meet you at some point. And the fact that this is present and very clearly in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and that experience is happening throughout all of these NDEs, that to me lends huge credence. Because, and this is the one thing I want, Ram Dass, if you can talk about, the fact is that the people who meet Christ, for instance, because there's a lot of these Christian books that are around the Christian principle.
Yeah.
These people, if they're in Tibet, they're meeting the Buddha. If they're in India, they may be meeting Shiva or their guru, right? I mean, it's just the imprints, is it not? Can you talk about that from your physical incarnation?
Yeah, it's very much like God has a soup closet with soup, Jesus suit, Ram suit, all the suits. The one who sees the person who's dying, oh, I'm coming, my Jesus suit. and they're just, they're all the same. Maharaji, all these things are the same, although we have seen them from our perspective are different.
Mm. Right.
If you look back, look inside them. Mm. There are books, one called Life After Life, which is Raymond Moody's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's in this article.
Yeah. And then Dying Into Me by Anandji Mutaji, MOORJANE. And the other book is book called Backwards. This book is the backwards. It goes.
Really?
Oh boy, this is she is a lawyer in a firm that does health work in Chicago, and she got a little of an anesthetic, and it too much for her.
Ah, and she went out.
She went out, and she was tested for breast cancer, and she takes her book is so sensational.
Really? What's her name, Ram Dass?
Her name is Nancy Dennison. DANISON.
Okay, great. Yeah, no, we'll tell everybody about them, but we also on the site we'll put them up as recommended books so that people can go ahead and get them. Just before we go here, one last thing, and personal, is that you're moving along. Actually, you told me this past birthday that you had, isn't it terrific? I beat the actuaries.
That's right.
Can you just talk about your perspective, more on a day-to-day basis or week-to-week basis, about transitioning? And first of all, your perspective, and second of all, are there conscious things that you are doing to prepare for it?
What I can say and do is under Maharaji's control. It's not my control. My life is controlled by Maharaji. Psychedelics, one point, I took them because of him. The pain and the inconvenience of a body being aged is most of the time, I witness it with joy. If I get attached to the pain, I go back to the witness and there and witness the attachment to the pain. I'm watching the flowers bloom. I'm watching the people that I influence. I see them growing as souls. Oh boy, just seeing them just go through this beautiful sadhana, and people just get joy for out of satsang, things like that. And I get so much, I'm affected, these people, the souls who are interacting with me in heart to hearts, in retreats, they're so spectacular. And so some of them are got to experience Maharaji, and some of them just experience Maharaji in books and whatever, from podcasts and all that. But I go through their awakening, and that it wakens me.
It seems to me you're talking about love that you have shared since the first time you came back from India and meeting Maharaji, and you've shared that love, and it's encouraged everybody else to share that love. It has grown exponentially, that sharing of love. And I just, my final question is, that love, it would seem to me, when we transition from this body, that love can encompass us, can surround us, can be like being in an ocean, that love. And you talk about ocean of love all the time.
Yep.
That we can trust in that love. And it could be, as you say, a direct experience of meeting the one through that being Neem Karoli Baba, as we did. Or the next experience, which is someone in meeting you, and how you have influenced all these souls, as you just said. And the next experience could be directly through a book, through hearing a talk, through a podcast, whatever it may be. But that is all the same. It is that same love that everyone experiences. And this is, you know, this is honestly what I try to do whenever I, at the end of any meditation that I do, is connect with that place. And I do that through just sitting with my hands on Maharaji's blanket. And I connect with that place that is what you're speaking of, that takes place with everyone who has been touched.
Yeah.
So is that not what seems to be the most realistic thing that we can do on our side in terms of transitioning?
The universe and the universe and soul is all one. It's called many times, it's called consciousness, it's called love. It's called the one. It's called peace. We are now, as incarnates, swimming in the ocean of love. If we're lucky, if we do our sadhana, you get to experience yourself as a soul. And then you look around and you see it's all love. Every individual tree and computer and all that, love, 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 love. And then you go to the next step, is you can hear you've seen love and hear you. The next step is being love. Being love. But you'll see love is still individual. And even at death is a transformation of the body. Dropping your body, as they say in India, dropping your body. That means the soul drops the body. And then you go on and on and on as a soul. As a soul with an intimate relationship with God, with the one. As Emmanuel said, it's sure is safe.
Yes, it is.
Right. Well, that's exactly what Ram Dass and I have been talking about, just that subject, and over the next few months in different settings and so on, we have planned to really flesh out everything, some of what was we were chatting about here under that, under Emmanuel's edict, dying is absolutely safe. And we're going to try and put together a manual. A manual from Emmanuel. But Ram Dass, thanks. This was great. Really great.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
And we've got these recommended books, everybody. And we'll make sure they're up on the website. Go to mindpodnetwork.com/mindrolling and we're one of the different podcasts there. Did I tell you about this? I don't even know, Ram Dass, if I told you. We have, so, you know, we talk about so many different things all of the time, but now we have this podcast network. So there's the podcast that I do, introducing talks of yours. Then there's this mind rolling thing that David and I do. Then there's we get Krishna Dass involved. We got Sharon involved, Sharon Salzberg. We have Jack Kornfield involved.
Wow.
And we're going to make guest podcasts from Roshi. And one of our, I don't know if I've told you that this is our little joke, but one of our listeners actually wrote us at one point after we had been introducing all of these same people and interviewing them and in terms of what we've been doing. And they said, boy, you sure, you know, can't you go a little further afield in terms of the people that you're interviewing? You just got all the low-hanging fruit that you're working with. And we said, I think we have the best low-hanging fruit group that you can imagine. And so we put it all into a website destination, MindPod Network. And so you can go there and everybody can get a little bit of different take on basically how to get your life in balance from different perspectives, from Bhakti to Buddhists. And these are all, they're part of the Soul Pod, right?
Right.
That's it. Well, again, thank you. And we will meet again. And David, we'll meet you again, too.
Have a good rest of the Sunday. Have a restful Sunday.
Yes. Ram Ram.
Ram Ram.